Oh, man. Good morning and welcome to the Wichita Church of Christ. It's great to be together. Amen. It's great to see all of you. There's a guy named Francis Chan. He's a preacher.
Yeah.
Is he preaching today? I read one of his jokes. Funny dude, funny guy. He said that after a service, I'm sure you guys have heard this one, but it's funny all the time. He goes, after the service, somebody came up to him and they said, Francis, I didn't enjoy the service. He said, oh, that's good, because we weren't worshiping you. I thought, wow, he's pretty quick. I have to keep that one in my back pocket. But you know, it's funny, we can always drop those things on other people, but they can pertain to us as well. The text this morning is going to be Daniel chapter 1. That's where we're going to start at. I'm not going to do it justice. I'm not going to be able to go through the whole book. We're still in our Unstuck series. Our first entry into that was Naaman. And how Naaman preferred and had pretenses about how he was to be healed and how that affects our lives. You know, that keeps us stuck. You know, Naaman responded in a cool way. And so we got to see a picture of what it looks like to respond to God. And then there's this other one that we did, the last one, which was, who was that? That was the rich young ruler, yeah. And he was challenged with, he had done everything that you know, you're supposed to do. I got my Ten Commandments on. I'm kind of rocking and all these other things, Jesus. So what else do I need to do? And Jesus said, well, there's one thing. Uh-oh. He said, sell all your riches, give them to the poor, and come follow me. Now imagine being a billionaire and coming up to Jesus and saying, hey, you know, I got my family promise on, you know, I did a couple of things. Hey, Jesus, what's happening? You know, am I good? And he goes, yeah, there's one thing you ought to do. Everything that you find security in, give it up. Give it to the poor. And then come follow me. Every time I hear that passage, I'm reminded of people wanting to follow Jesus. And he says that the Savior has nowhere to rest his head. So if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow me everywhere and anywhere. And you may not know what that looks like, but you've got to trust me. Right. Oftentimes, our unwillingness to trust Jesus keeps us stuck. Right. Amen. Now, this morning, we're going to look at getting beyond, unstuck, move beyond what's holding you back, because there's a lot of things that hold us back. Yeah? Getting beyond the peer pressure of status quo stuckness. The peer pressure of status quo stuckness. Now, this can go a whole lot of ways. But there's something to us being able to recognize what is status quo. All right. And sometimes it could be status quo in the church. And being able to get beyond what everybody's doing it. And really embrace the crux of things. Okay. Let me just say this. For all of the unstuck episodes in the series, the bottom line is we'll be unstuck when we want to follow Jesus as bad as we want to breathe. As bad as you want air, just cover your mouth, hold your breath, you know, hold your breath through the sermon and see how quickly you gain conviction about having air. And it's like when you feel that way about following Jesus, you'll be unstuck. Does that make sense? Let's pray and then we'll jump in. God, thank you so much for this time to be together. We're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful, Father, for your Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that whatever it is that's hindering us, whatever it is that's distracting us, whatever it is that is having us have a wall up, God, that you would soften our hearts, that you would in the way that you comfort and gently love us, that you would bring those things down so that you can be revealed. And we pray, Father, to see you not as we want to see you, but as you want to be seen. We pray, Father, that as we see you, we see the beauty of a relationship with you, the beauty of the way that you perfectly love, the beauty of the way that you can love through any situation, even when we have wrong thinking. God, we'd also like to take this time to lift up Dan, to lift up Lissa's grandmother, to lift to you Mary's sister, to lift up the marriages, to lift up all of Wichita, to lift up our lives to you. We pray for healing that comes from you. And we pray for the courage to embrace the process. We thank you in advance and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Awesome. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. You're like, I already did that. And I'm going to start in verse 8, but let me just give you a little bit of Daniel. Daniel and his buddies are some young folk that in the first invasion get captured and brought into Babylon. And they are brought into the service of the king, these young folks. And let's just say this off the top, the message or the theme of the book of Daniel is a pattern and a promise for all generations. Amen? Amen. Here's what you need to realize. Human beings become beasts when they don't acknowledge God's kingdom. And God will one day confront the beast and rescue his world. You know, oftentimes when we read from the book of Daniel, I'll just get into it. Yeah. All right. Amen. Starting in verse 5. So these guys have been captured. They've been brought in. And then let me start in verse 3. Then the king ordered the chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. So Daniel's folks are nobility. Young men without any physical defect. Handsome. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Now, this is what it takes. This is what qualifies you to serve in the king's palace. I know, right? It's like it. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them daily a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years. You know how Jesus trained the disciples for 3 years? And after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among these were from some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, here's what we want to pick up. Hey, here's what we want to get at, youngins. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord the King, who has assigned me your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. That sounds great, doesn't it? Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this test and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To the four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. You're like, man, why are you reading that so loud? I'm excited about that. I'm excited. You know, I've preached this a million times. I've heard it a million times. We go through this and it becomes this thing where we go, we talk about the diet. And the first point is the diet. We talk about the diet. Now, don't act like you ain't never heard this before. Some of you are already, I beat him to the punch. I know what the diet is. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to be in the fellowship. I'm supposed to be reaching out to people. I'm supposed to be a good person. I'm supposed to never, ever, 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 ever cuss or, you know, have a bad thought. You start thinking about all these things, and then you start going, you know, man, I don't know about this diet, just like many of us would think about being vegans. You know what I'm saying? The healthiest thing for you. I was one for quite some time, and I tell you, I felt better than I feel now. But think about it. If we were, you know, we're getting ready to have a potluck. We're going to have vegetables. And we're going to have water. You know, everybody would suddenly be going, I'm going to kind of pass on the potluck. I'll catch you guys on the rebound. You know, have a great time. And then you're looking at people going. You know, when we think about this diet, you know, I even wrote down some things and I almost got caught up. You know, you think about the transparency, you think about all of these things, but I want us to think a little bit deeper when we talk about diet. I want to talk about diet. I want to talk about diet. But I want to talk about some things specifically when we talk about diet. And it pertains to the scriptures. Because at the end of the day, what you've got to realize and be fired up about is that it's not that God blessed these guys because of the diet. God blessed these guys because of their faithfulness and commitment to his word. So our diet should be faithfulness and commitment to the word of God. Amen. So, I mean, you can read forever. You can have a quiet time for 2 hours where it's just you, the Bible, you know what I'm saying? You could do that, and you could still not get what these guys got. Now, here's the interesting part that I want you to understand. Understand this. Oftentimes when we think about what it means to be productive, we think that if we go on this diet, we'll meet a lot of people and they'll become Christians. We think if we're on this diet that we're just automatically, whatever difficulties we're going through, they'll be gone. Don't we? Yeah. It's like we kind of, I mean, it's like a catch-22. We go, man, I mean, how many people have said, man, I read my Bible, I prayed, I got with some people. Some people were good, some people were bad, you know, but I was awesome. And things didn't really work out for me. Why should I do that? I've been a Christian for almost 30 years. What is it? This stuff doesn't work. Yeah. We're skeptical. I've done it already. And then our kids see us and they go, I seen you do that already and it ain't working. Not everybody. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we look around and go, I see you doing that and it ain't working. I got to find something else to do. I need to eat some meat. when we talk about this diet, there's something that we have to understand about those times. Now, the key in all of this when we talk about diet is that Daniel was resolved to not defile himself. Not defile himself. And we go, okay, so that means no rap music, no cussing, no doing the cabbage patch, you know what I'm saying? No watching those shows I really like to watch on TV. You know, that's the extent of it. Yeah? But I want you to get this. The Israelites considered food from Nebuchadnezzar's table to be contaminated because the first portion of it was offered to idols. The first portion of it was offered to idols. Yeah? So the king's going to serve you this food and it's awesome, but it was offered to idols before it got to you. So for you to eat that would say that you agree. Yeah? The portion of the wine poured out was poured out on a pagan altar. You know, like Jesus' blood purifies us. You know what I'm saying? It's like this wine is poured out to pagan gods. So you ever heard that phraseology? Man, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah. So are you're giving your blood to these pagan gods? Is that where you're at? Then there's this other piece. I mean, think about it. The ceremonially unclean animals that were used were neither slaughtered nor prepared according to the regulations of the law. Now let's just understand this. The sacrifice, according to the laws of God, the directions God gave for how sacrifices were to be made, first off, they were the wrong animals. The wrong animals. You know, there were animals that you, if you ate, it was over for you. So don't even eat them. Don't be around them. Don't talk to them. Don't touch them. They're not animals to be eaten. And then the way that they were slaughtered was unceremonial. Can I go deep for a minute? I pray that the Holy Spirit intercedes right now. You know, oftentimes in our lives, we call ourselves making sacrifices. But who do we make sacrifices to first? When we talk about doing the things of God, who gets the first portion? Who gets your best energies? You'll know if you know the right thing to do, but you choose to do something for you instead. So that's the first portion. Does that make sense? Where is all of your toil played out? Where is your blood, sweat, and tears spent? And this is the easy one. Because you know there's some things in the world. I do it too, man. Fantasy football, I put a lot of energy into that. You know what I'm saying? You can just tell by the times that I look. You know, I get an alert. When we're alerted by God, is the first thing that we're prompted to do, is it to pray? And maybe you guys are like, yeah, man, I do that all the time, man. Maybe we should get somebody else up there preaching, Brandel. But there's something to where you spend your best energies. And then there's this animal. We always talk about sacrifice. I'm sacrificing. You know what I'm saying? I'm sacrificing. But have you ever thought that maybe your sacrifice was unceremonially unclean? You bring yourself before a situation to sacrifice, but you bring yourself with the wrong attitude. You come with the wrong animal. Man, I'm here. I'm in the building. Man, don't touch me. And then we dissect the animal. We slaughter the animal that we bring differently. We, in an unceremonial way, unceremonial in this, maybe we don't take responsibility for our bad attitude. It's somebody else's fault that we're bleeding the way that we're bleeding. Yeah?
Yeah. Come on.
The reason why I'm sinning, the reason why I'm where I'm at is because of you fill in the blank. that will keep you stuck all the time.
Yeah, come on.
So if you want to experience this diet, now let's just get to this last part. You know, if you're on this diet, if it is about God, if it is about not being defiled, here's what you get. In this story, here's what you get. God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Let me say this. When we live lives where we're undefiled, we don't have our dreams and our vision. We have God's dreams and His vision. Now, let that bake your noodle for just a second. Think about that. You know, what do you think about when you think about, man, I'm on this diet, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to be down to 2-5, and I'm going to be able to take off from the free throw line, my jab, You know, we got all of this stuff. But have you ever stopped to think, have we ever been mature enough to say, if I follow the diet, if I follow God, if I embrace Him, if He becomes the most important thing to me, He'll give me His vision. Now, if we look later on in the story, Daniel gets to play this out when the professional vision interpreters get called out by the king. And he says, at some point, he just says, you know what? You guys are just going to tell me what I want to hear. So let's do this. I'm not even going to tell you what kind of dream I had. And you answer me and tell me the interpretation of my dream. And if you can, I'm going to kill you. Now, the professional dream interpreters go, nobody could do that. And Daniel slides up on the scene. They get ready to kill all of them. And Daniel just says, oh, before you, my head off. What's the problem? He says, well, the king has a dream that he's trying to get interpreted, and none of y'all, and I said y'all, none of y'all can interpret it, so you guys are all going to die because you're all frauds. And Daniel's like, I got this. Give me a little bit of time. I'll work it out. And he works it out, and he gains favor. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, here's the point. Have you ever stopped to think? Here's what sticks us is we start to think that we go on this diet and God gives us what we want. He gives us our dream, our vision, for us to be the main player in the story. But in reality, in this story, we see that God gives His knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what He is accomplishing. Amen? And in turn, that's something that we can pass on to other people and we can experience personally. That should free you up when you think about a diet and a spiritual diet. You know, some of us, we're afraid of what God's vision is. You know what I'm saying? We're still on the Chaldean. That's the professional. Yeah, I don't want that one. Let me make up my own. But the idea is that a diet of faith and commitment to God's word gives us clear vision, understanding. We're able to learn and embrace a true God, His plans, promises, and purposes. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what happened. All right, next slide. You guys get it?
Yeah.
Next slide is the video.
I believe that. Now, you know, once we understand a diet of faithfulness, we embrace that, and we're not looking for, you know, $1 million in our bank account, but to understand what's important to God and how we fit into that, then we get to experience this second piece. And I wanted to show a little bit of a video. It's a kid video for the kid in you, and then we'll keep rocking. Let's do it.
There are certain Jews who you have set over the affairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your God, nor worship the golden image.
What?
Bring them to me. Is it true? Do not you serve my gods and worship the golden image? If you are ready, when you hear the music, bow down and worship the golden image. Well, but if not, you will be thrown in the fire the same hour. And who is that God that will deliver you from my hand?
Our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image.
Guards, heat the furnace 7 times hotter, then throw these 3 in.
Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and thrown into the fire.
Stop right there. Lights, please. Look at Dale's back there waiting for the rest of it. He's waiting for the punchline. You see him? You didn't see him. Dale's back there like this, sleeping on the lights. Oh, that was great. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. You guys all right? Oh, that was priceless. That's an illustration in itself. Dale's like, I'm never going to turn on the lights for you again. Oh, man. Now, this is later on. And you know, this is after Daniel's done his thing, and the royal officials and all this stuff are hating on these guys, and they set them up. You know, that idol up there was really, that was the king. The king is God. Yeah? So basically they came up and they set him up and they said, hey, king, you know, these fellas here, they're not bowing down and worship you. We set this thing up so every time the music plays, everybody's supposed to bow down and worship you. And, you know, we worship you, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they're not doing it. And the king goes, oh, they're not. Bring them in. And then we heard that sounded like Miley Cyrus's dad. Is it true? I was glad that when those young folks' voices came out, the one with the beard, that he didn't say anything, because I was a little scared of what his voice was going to be like.
Oh, king, we will not. King, we will not.
Yeah, king, we will. Like, yeah. It's supposed to be 3 years removed from maybe 16, so that makes him 19. This dude's got a beard. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's the milk, all of that stuff nowadays that they put in our food. You know what I'm saying? Beards and all that stuff is possible. But then... Now, the point of that, when we look at this passage, I want us to see that in order for us to get beyond the peer pressure stuckness, there's first got to be a diet, a faithfulness and commitment to God's word, and then there's got to be a decision, an active decision, an active decision. And I'll try to make this one short. Are you at chapter 3? Now, there was a reason why I didn't go through that whole piece, but I will come back to that. In verse 18, it says, but even if God does not deliver us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That is the type of decision that gets us unstuck. Church, hear me. Whether I live or die, I will not bow down to this culture, what's popular, what's available. I'm not going to bow down to it. If I burn up, I burn up. You know, I saw this interesting quote. It says, your fear of looking stupid keeps you stuck. And these guys go, look, it's true. And let's do this. Whatever happens, we're not going to bow down. Now, how many of us in all of our spiritual life feel that way? There's got to be a resolve to live or die in the presence of the Lord. You know, we sing this song and we talk about God being enough. Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand, that when we make this sacrifice, we often attach productivity to it. If I make a sacrifice and I don't get what I think I'm supposed to get, then God is not at work. He's not powerful and something's wrong. We got to try something different. We got to do something different. It's not working. But if you read further in the story, and let me give you some homework, read all of Daniel. We've got this diet of faithfulness and commitment to God's word, but it's a decision to live or die in the, write this word down, presence of the Lord. How many of us have kind of came to this conclusion because it's not going well in our lives that God isn't with us? You know, they go in the furnace and however many people they're in there, there's one extra in there. And that's of God. Imagine what it would feel like to know, man, I'm going to die, but Jesus is right here, right next to me, going through this with me. And at the end of all of this, I'll be with him forever. Is that enough for you? I know we spend a lot of time talking about, Lord, what's happening on earth? We don't want to get too caught up in heaven. But Scripture continually says that we'll experience God here on earth. He'll be in our presence. It doesn't mean that we won't have difficulty. If you're having difficulty this morning, it does not mean that God's not with you. It is a matter of you deciding, hey, I'm the only guy, I'm the only gal at my school that wants to serve the Lord. I'm the only person in my group that wants to remain faithful. You're not alone. You're not alone in a lot of ways, but Jesus is with you. Jesus is in the fire with you financially, in your relationships, as you wrestle with yourself, wherever you're at. As a Christian, Jesus is with you. In order for us to get beyond peer pressure stuckness, we've got to be okay with a life and death situation. Yeah? And being joyous that Jesus is with us in the fire. Amen? So somebody should be freed up this morning. They're going through fire right now, but Jesus is with them. If nobody else is with you, Jesus is with you. Amen? Whoa. I want to show you, it should bring us to a mindset. So when we talk about this diet piece, there's this diet piece where, you know, we faithful and committed to God and his word. And then there's other piece about making a decision, an active living decision of life and death in the Lord, and his presence is good enough for me. And then we got one more video. Okay. And then we'll shut him down. I'm watching you, Dale.
Good luck. Five cars. Whoa, one left the table. Oh my goodness. Here, roll this one all by itself. You got three cars so far. Three cars, fourth on the way, I hope. Look at this lucky guy. Look at this. Well, you have $1,500 cash. You can keep that or go for another roll. Try to get the five cars. Then roll that one. I'll take the $1,500 cash, bro. You don't want to roll that one to try to win the car? No, I'll take the $1,500. Are you sure? I'm sure. But all you get two more rolls. You get two more chances to get that to turn that $1,500 into a car. I want the $1,500. Okay, I just want to let you know that this is like a free. You can roll this and no penalty. You might get only $500 or $1,000, but you might win a car.
Oh no, $1,500 would be fine.
He's going to take the $1,500, folks. I'm not going to talk him out of it. Man. Oh, Kevin. You're a heartbreaker. You got a ping pong table. Let's get another contestant up here. Go ahead, George.
All right. Let it hit.
Lights.
Dump the bucket, yeah. Good luck. Bye.
His facial expressions were great, weren't they? He had two more tries. Did you see his family? Do you understand that you might not get the car, you might get 500. You might get 800, but you got two tries to get the car. Oh, no, I'll take the 1,500. Do you understand, Jason? You got two tries. All of those dire out there, there's only a couple left, man. This is more than 50-50. You could win a car. Uh-huh. I'll take the 1,500. Did you see that he didn't bat an eye? I mean, his eyes got bigger for a second, but it was only about the 1,500. He's like, well, you could get a car. And he goes, no, I'll take the 1,500. I wonder what was going on in his life that would make that guy. 1,500 is good. That's his story to tell. But when we take God with faithfulness and commitment to his word, that's what destination looks like. You know, I'll save it for you. Read chapter 12 at the end, and Daniel is caught up in the heavenly host, and he's given this vision, and he asks this question, and he goes, what does this mean? And it says, and the heavenly host says to him, he says, Daniel, do what you've been doing. There's going to be a time. And this time is going to play out, but as this time plays out and it speaks of the resurrection, it says when this time plays out, you just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you've been doing, being faithful and committed to God and his word, living a life that I'm willing to die for God, whatever that means, his presence is enough, and you'll see people be purified, you'll see people be healed, you'll see all of these things, but at the same time, Daniel, you'll see people that are wicked and they will not prosper. But you continue to do what you've been doing. You'll experience me now and you'll experience me in eternity. Church, I want to ask you this morning, are you stuck because you value worldly productivity more than you value the presence of God? Do we understand that in order to experience the presence of God, we have to faithfully commit to him and his word? We can't allow this culture, the fire that comes with it, to spook us out of being refined into more mature people in the Lord. This isn't about a production diet. This isn't about an acknowledgement of God decision. This is about choosing God in a specific way and embracing process over productivity. Amen. You know, it's funny to see Josh up here doing a communion. I remember the first time I asked Josh to do communion. I think probably the first 10 times I asked Josh Sampson to do communion. You know what his answer was? He said everything but answer yes or no. And then we got past that 10 times, and then he, you know, okay. And then he'd go up, he'd come up, and he'd smile, and everybody go, come on. Just do this, and you're going, doop! And now you see him, he gets up and he's more comfortable. You know what I'm saying? He's okay, if I stutter reading or whatever, I don't read anything, cool, I'm not even, let's get it. Yeah? That's progress. Amen? Where we didn't have a young guy up there, now we got a young guy up there. Now here's progress. I used to have to chase this dude down, and I'd see him 2 weeks later, and I'd remember, hey, man, I asked you to do something 2 weeks ago. Now he responds maturely. Hey, I need you to do the welcome. No, not I. We need you to do the welcome. Okay, that's cool. Okay, hey, no, we need you to do communion. Okay, that's cool. That's a progression to maturity. Amen? We don't have all of our people here. We've got the young professionals. That's those, you know, that group of folks. They're at a retreat in Columbia, Missouri. With all those folks, there's what is that? Young professionals and the young marrieds. They're all there. Now here's the cool part. This stuff has been jumping off for a while. I want you to understand this. This is opportunity for our young Christians to connect with other young Christians to build relationships that are going to last a lifetime. Right. To draw spiritual strength and encouragement. Amen. This stuff has been going on for quite some time. So please, please, please don't run around here thinking nothing is happening. Amen. That is progression. That is progress. Our guys are growing. You know, I think the world, I mean, more than the world, I think Ethan is awesome. And you know how cool it is to, there was a day when I said, Ethan, he's our guy. We're training him up and he wants to be a teacher and this, that, and the other thing. And there was, oh, bro, yeah, Ethan. Yeah, he's not that guy. And you know how good it feels to hear evangelists from around the heartland say, man, that Ethan is fire. Yeah. And it's like, you got on the bandwagon like you did with the Chiefs. Took you a few years, but now Mahomes is in there and you're all in. Church, sometimes we're looking at the wrong things. And we miss the presence of God and the progress that he's making in his plans, promises, purpose, his timing. Be encouraged by that this morning, okay? Let's be unstuck because our destination isn't our own idea of productivity, but it's what God's word says. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for this time to be with you. We're grateful for your grace and mercy in our lives. We're grateful, Father, for not only the studios and the young professionals and guys like Josh and seeing Dylan become a Christian and the other people that will, Father, even seeing older folks get a vision. I'm sorry, not older folks, but more mature folks. Get a vision for being examples in the church, like your scriptures say. For seeing marriages, for seeing lives turning around. God, thank you so much. That's only because of your presence. And we ask your forgiveness for the times that we miss that, looking for the things that we're looking at. Father, you are growing your church as each part does its work. Thank you so much for the equipping that comes from your word and your spirit, and the experiences that we all share together. God, we pray so much. That you to help us, for you to help us to see where we're unstuck already and not get caught up and fabricate being stuck where we're really not. God, thank you. Thank you for blessing us. We pray to be a blessing to others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. Hi, I woke up. Having your evangelist say, hey, wake up. That'll do it. In the middle of service. Thank you so much for that message. Very convicting for me. Really appreciate it.